Good morning. My name is, as Andrea said, my name is Andrew Ware. I am a second-year seminary student at Wesley Seminary. And this January, a group of about 10 of us came to this area and worked with Rising Hope Mission Church right across the road. And Janet was so welcoming in letting us stay here, as was everybody else in the congregation. I'd like to start out my message by thanking you all for your act of generosity as we were immersing ourselves in this culture in Fairfax, Virginia. My scriptures are on the back of the bulletin, so if you would like to follow along as I read them, you can look there. The first one is Matthew 25, verses 31 to 45. When the Son of Man comes in glory, and all the angels with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne. Before him will be gathered all the nations, and he will separate people from one from another, as the shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will place the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on the right, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me a drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me in. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me." Then the righteous will answer him, saying, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you a drink? When did we see you a stranger and welcome you in, naked and clothe you? And when did we see you sick or in prison and visit you?" And the king will answer, "Truly I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers and sisters, you did it to me." Then he will say to those on the left, "Depart from me, you cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you did not welcome me. I was naked, and you did not clothe me. Sick and in prison, and you did not visit me." Then they will answer, saying, "Lord, when did we see you hungry, or thirsty, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister to you?" Then he will answer them, saying, "Truly I say to you, as you did not do it to the least of these, you did not do it to me." And the second reading from James chapter 1, verses 22 to 27. "But be doers of the word, and not only hearers, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror. For he looks at himself and goes away, and at once forgets what he was like. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. If anyone thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his heart, this person's religion is worthless. Religion is that pure and undefiled, is pure and undefiled before God, the Father, is this, to visit the orphans and widows in their affliction, and to keep oneself unstained from the word." This is the word of God for the people of God. Pray with me. Lord, may the words from my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasant unto you. Amen. January 17th and 18th was like no other night that I'd ever experienced before. It was a night when this message from James truly came alive for me. It was a real moment where I had to choose being a hearer and a doer of the word. In the moment, I had so many thoughts running through my head about what I should do. But in the end, I wanted to be able to look at myself in the mirror and know who I saw. I wanted to see someone who does. So let's start at the beginning. January 7th was a cold night, unlike most of the month of January for us. It was one of the few cold nights that we had throughout our immersion. And so we knew it was going to be a rough night for the homeless people all around Fairfax County, and especially those who are around the Mount Vernon area. As you know, there's a hypothermia shelter at Rising Hope, and this hypothermia shelter only can accommodate 25 people. And so once we reach 25 people, Sherry, who's the director of the shelter, is very quick to tell us we can't take any more, primarily for fire safety purposes, which is pretty important, but it cuts it off at 25. And so we know when it's a cold night that we're going to get 25 people and that we're probably going to have to send some people away. And so that night, as Sherry had predicted, the 25 people came early. I believe we filled up around 9:30, 10 o'clock. And afterwards, a few people kind of trickled by wanting to come into the shelter. But as Sherry had told us, once we reached 25, we could not take any more. But she advised that we could send them to the Kennedy shelter right down Route 1. And so the few people who came decided that they would go to the Kennedy shelter. And we gave them a bus token as the bus was still running. And they got down to the Kennedy shelter. However, at about 2:30 in the morning, a gentleman who a lot of us had seen many times at the noon prayer services and lunches at Rising Hope, we'll call him Joe, came to the door. Now, the night before, Joe had been at the hypothermia shelter, but he had left in the middle of the night. And he had left his suitcase. His suitcase containing all of his belongings that he owned, everything that he had, was inside Rising Hope. And around 2:30 in the morning, as we were just sitting around in the office trying to stay awake, we hear the doorbell ring, and it's Joe. Standing there, cold and shivering, and without any of his possessions. It broke my heart to tell him that we could not let him in that night, that we had already reached our 25-person capacity, and we had already had to send a few people away. And unfortunately, it was 2:30 in the morning, and so the bus service had stopped running. And so there was no accessible way for him to get to the Kennedy shelter from Rising Hope. I had told him that he could go to the Kennedy shelter if he wanted to, but he was adamant about not wanting to go there. He stood there, cold and shivering. Why could he not come in? His stuff was inside. His friends were inside. But he was outside. In my mind, as I thought about what James would be doing, Joe would be doing, the message from James spun around in my head. Being a doer of the word was not simply letting him go to sleep in the woods, but being a doer was making sure that he had a place to stay. It's interesting to read James. I'm currently in a class where we're looking through Galatians and James, and it's interesting to read through and see how much of the teachings of Jesus were in there. That may be tossed up to the fact that one of the supposed authors of James was the brother of Jesus, James would have been traveling with Jesus throughout his ministry. He would have known, for the most part, what the disciples were going to be writing in their gospels. We find a message that does not follow the life of Jesus, but instead follows the teachings, which, in my opinion, seems like a very good message, as the teachings are what Jesus calls us to follow. He's well-versed in all of Jesus' teachings, as well as Old Testament teachings. And so it's no wonder that as I am standing on the porch, looking at Joe, that James and Matthew come to my mind. James's letter calls us to an uncomfortable place. Do not simply be hearers of the word, but be doers. It seems a lot more easy to just sit there and listen than it does to go out and do. This is why I call James the uncomfortable gospel. It pulls us to this place where we would not normally want to go. It pulls us to this place where Jesus calls us to go. I love the imagery that James uses in this in the verses that we read. The image of a mirror. How many people here can say that they have looked in the mirror and forgotten what they have seen? It doesn't happen. Most of the times we can forget about that one hair that might be standing up, or something that's right there on our face that might, we have to take a double look. But for the most part, we remember. So it's kind of difficult to put us in this situation. But I ask you, what would happen if you looked in the mirror and forgot what you saw? It would be like listening to something and then immediately forgetting it. It would lessen the image that you are looking at. Much like when we do not act on the teachings of Jesus, we lessen the meaning of the gospel. We lessen the meaning of our religion and of Jesus' teachings. Had I let Joe just leave that night, to me it would have felt like I was not doing the work of Jesus. I was not ensuring the safety of one of God's sheep. A man who I had seen the 2 weeks grow. A man who at the beginning was closed off to talking to our group. But even by that Wednesday had opened himself up and was having authentic and intentional conversations with us about what he believed. Could I truly just let him leave? Would that have been the right thing to do? No. Because of James, the gospel, I couldn't do that. And because I know that James is referring to Jesus' teaching, and specifically to our gospel lesson today, from Matthew, where James calls us to look after the least, the last, and the lost. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was naked, and you gave me clothing. I was sick, you looked after me. And I was in prison, and you came to visit me. Those people will receive the blessing of the Lord. I believe this was the point of our entire immersion. We were tasked to immerse ourselves in this culture, the culture of the least, the last, and the lost. Now, for those of you who know, Fairfax County is one of the richest counties in the nation. However, it contains this pocket of homelessness and poverty, which is seen as an outlier, something that skews the numbers. However, it's still one of the richest counties in America. How must it feel to be part of that impoverished group and not even be able to make a difference in the society around you? Forgotten by a society whose wealth defines the county. Our immersion was called Hidden Cultures in Suburbia. And one would think, suburbia, that sounds like a nice place. But we quickly learned that it was a place full of hurt and pain. hurt and pain in these people who were living in this area, affected by joblessness and homelessness and looking for a community to take them in. However, once we saw past this hurt and pain, we saw a community that accepted them in as they were. A community like Rising Hope. A community like all of the churches that surround it, that support the people who are in Rising Hope, that support Carrie and his ministry. They go over and they cook. They help clean. They help clothe. A community that has not forgotten those that society has forgotten. All of this ran across my mind as I stood across from Joe on the stoop. James, Matthew, society. I knew the right thing to do. I knew the right thing was to ensure that he could get to Kennedy Shelter. And so one of our other people on the trip had a truck with him. And so without even asking him, I decided that Scott, who was the other student, was going to be driving Joe to the Kennedy Shelter. Thank goodness Scott is such an understanding person, because that might not have worked out so well. But I finally convinced Joe to get to the Kennedy Shelter, that we could get him there. And I told him that when I went into the kitchen and got his stuff, that I would bring him something to eat. I knew he was hungry as well. And I knew that being a doer did not just stop at finding him a place to stay. When I look in the mirror, who do I see? This question needs to hopefully be running through our minds as we contemplate our everyday lives, as the Joes of our lives come and stand on our porch. Who do we see in the mirror? Are we going to look and then forget? Or are we going to see somebody who does? James was speaking to a group of Jewish Christians. They were people who already believed in Christ. I imagine they had the faith of champions. Nobody could waver them at all. Nobody could convince them that Jesus was not the Messiah. But James knew that it was not enough just to believe, that we must do. There are so many opportunities offered on a daily basis for us, especially for us who live in this community. With Rising Hope just around the corner, with Kennedy Shelter just down the road, New Hope Housing around here, helping people find housing. There are so many opportunities to get involved. And I love that when I came to this community, I saw a community that was involved and doesn't just hear the word, but does. And so I ask you again, who do you see when you look in the mirror? I hope you see someone who does and doesn't just listen. Someone who cares and doesn't just forget. Someone who loves and never likes hurting. And someone who is blessed and will share their blessings. James wraps up the chapter by telling us, religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this, to look after the orphans and the widows in their distress, and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. Religion. Our religion, Christianity. The point of it is to care, is to love on those who are less fortunate than us. And this is an uncomfortable message, and we are called to it nonetheless. But we must remember to answer the question, who do we see when we look in the mirror? Amen.